Diary, June 1892. Preston, Melbourne, Australia. June 9th to 30th, 1892. June 9th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne, Australia. I am making up my letters for this mail. June 12th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. I have a severe cold which is heavy upon me. Sick, nervous headache makes me quite miserable, but the past night has been quite pleasant. The wakeful hours were spent in looking to the Lord for His grace, that I might be among the worthy overcomers. I see that overcoming means a great deal. It is a sad thing to be overcome in the place of overcoming. If we overcome, a constant vigilant watch must be placed on the mind and heart. We cannot think our own thoughts or do our own actions. Abiding in Christ, we shall have the mind of Christ, and self will be uprooted. Self must die. Articles written. Missionary work. 15 pages letter paper. 10 pages letter paper. Robinson. 13 pages. Sustaining the cause. Letter to Elder Smith. 24 pages. Elder Haskell, 16 pages. Sister Ings, 5 pages. Brother Lockwood, 5 pages. Sarah McEnterfer, 2 pages. Ella May and Mabel White, 4 pages. Large document to Jones in regard to publishing and health institutions. J.E. White, 12 pages. June 12, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Sent to Brother Wessels, 5 letter pages. To Elder Wagoner to London, 12. To Elder Washburn, England, 1 page. June 13th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Yesterday, Brother Barons? His wife and children and Brother and Sister Pierce called upon us. Marion Davis and I were riding out. They were just leaving when we returned. They could not tarry longer. I knew that they were disappointed. I wrote them 4 pages of letter paper and sent them, to give them words of courage. At family prayers, Fanny Bolton wrestled in prayer for the victory. Light came in, and we had tokens of the work of God upon the heart. June 14th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Rode out quite a distance, but it wearies me to ride unless I can arrange so that my hip will have nothing to press against it. Not a wrinkle or anything in my clothing must press against my hip, for it at once affects the whole nervous system. We had a heavy frost last night. June 15th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. I had a hard, trying night. It was a beautiful moonlight night, but the nerves of the hip and across the lower part of my back were so sensitive I could not sleep much. It is milder today. June 15th, 1892. The night has been long and trying. I lay awake from 10:30 till 2:30, so full of nervous pain that I could not rest. But I will not repine. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13, verse 15. I shall be glad when the days lengthen and the nights shorten. Constantly my petition is ascending to God for restoration to health, that while here in Australia I may bear my testimony to the people. But if the Lord has other plans for me, I am content. He knows what is for my good and the good of His people. He doeth all things well. June 16th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another long, trying night has nearly passed. Daylight will soon come. I slept well during the first part of the night, but when I awoke, the nervous pain came on once more so severely that I could scarcely compose myself to pray intelligently. After a time, the nervousness passed away, and I prayed most earnestly to my Heavenly Father. I presented before Him the promise, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 7, verse 7. Even in my pain, I can rejoice in the Lord, and this gives me peace. Christ is my personal Savior. He has pledged His word to accomplish the salvation of all who believe in Him, and He will verify His promise. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. These words show us why God's wrath descended on His only begotten Son, why the innocent suffered for the guilty, why the just bore the punishment wholly due to the unjust. Jesus came to bear the penalty of man's transgression, to uphold and vindicate the immutability of the law of God and the rectitude of His government. He came to make an end of sin and to bring in everlasting righteousness. He can lift sinners from their low estate and in so doing magnify the law of Jehovah. These thoughts make me almost forget my pain. June 17, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. During the past night, I have slept but little. I tried to look to Jesus, to place myself in the hands of the great physician. He has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The grace of Christ leads men to speak right words under all circumstances. Bodily suffering is no excuse for unchristlike actions.
During these sleepless hours, the subject of overcoming has been the burden of my thoughts. To him that overcometh, the Lord declares, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. There are those who are forever making excuses for walking in the counsel of the enemy. Some think that because they have physical infirmities, they are privileged to speak pettish words and to act in an unlovely manner. But has Jesus made no provision for such ones to overcome temptation? Because of trial and affliction, are they to be unthankful and unholy? Are not the rays of Christ's righteousness bright enough to dispel the shadow of Satan? The grace of God is declared to be sufficient for all the ills and trials against which human beings have to contend. Is it powerless then against bodily infirmity? Shall divine grace stand back while Satan takes the field, holding the victim in the power of his evil attributes? Oh, how precious is Jesus to the soul who trusts in him! But many are walking in darkness because they bury their faith in the shadow of Satan. They have not done that which it was in their power to do through the grace of Jesus. They have not talked faith and hope and courage. Never for a moment should we allow Satan to think that his power to distress and annoy is greater than the power of Christ to uphold and strengthen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. Every sincere prayer that is offered to God is mingled with the efficacy of Christ's blood. If the answer is deferred, it is because God desires us to show a holy boldness in claiming the pledged word of God. He is faithful who hath promised. He will never forsake the soul who is wholly surrendered to him. You may ask the Lord for certain things that you think you must have, but he may see that to grant your desire would harm your soul. He gives you that which is for your good and his glory. If you become rebellious because you do not receive what you think you should, you show that your way is not in harmony with the will of God, that your way is not His way. Selfishness says, "My way, O God," much of self and little of Thee. June 18, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. The past night was one of great suffering. During the evening, I had a coke fire in the grate. I awoke with a sense of suffocation and pressure for breath. I called for help. By mistake, All the windows in my room had been left closed. I felt sick all over and very faint, and for a time I lost all sense of things about me. At last, May Walling and Emily Campbell came to my help, and every effort was made to give me ease. But I was not entirely relieved for some time. After all had been done that anyone could do, the windows were opened, and a screen placed around my bed, to prevent the air striking directly upon me. I slept again, a troubled, dangerous sleep. For the next 2 hours, I was wrestling in my sleep to find my way out of a dense wood, to where I could get a free breath of air. When at last I aroused from sleep, I did not come to my proper bearings for some time. Yes, for hours. Then I knew that something must be done. I was weak, and my heart pained me. I felt the need of a strong cordial, but there was nothing in the house but grape juice. I took some of this, and it strengthened me, but I was much exhausted. On the Sabbath, all the members of the family, excepting myself, went to church. During the day, I wrote something in regard to missionary work. I felt deeply as I wrote, and my heart went up in prayer to God to set things in order in this country, and to raise up men who have wisdom to recognize the talent that God has given to many who have accepted the truth. These can be fitted for a place in the work, but they need to be educated and disciplined, that they may know how to use their talents for the spread of the truth and the upbuilding of God's kingdom in the earth. Christ is the greatest missionary our world has ever seen, and I have faith that he will heal me. June 19, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another night has passed, and much more pleasantly than the previous one. I feel very grateful to my Heavenly Father for his grace and his great mercy to me. Last night, I was perplexed to know what to do for my aching nerves and muscles. All day the wind had been very high, and it seemed impossible to make the rooms warm enough for me to take treatment in them. I thought of a salt glow, and May Walling gave me one, with the lounge drawn as close as possible to the fire. The treatment was successful in quieting my nerves. This morning, I feel stronger than I did yesterday. Elder Daniels came from Fitzroy to see me, and we had a pleasant conversation. I told him that come what may, we must not for a moment lose courage or hope or faith, because that would give the victory to the enemy. We must be faithful soldiers, moving steadily forward. Whatever circumstances may arise, we must remember that the captain of the Lord's host is leading us. To him we must look for orders. Satan will not leave us in peace. He is ever seeking to destroy. If he cannot do this, he will seek in every possible way to annoy and hinder us. Knowing the will of the Lord, we must not dishonor our leader by speaking words of discouragement. Brother and sister Byron Belden called to see me, and we had a season of prayer. In my suffering, the Lord is sacredly near to me. It seems that I can endure the seeing of him who is invisible. During these long, wakeful nights, I have precious seasons of communion with my Savior. I seem to look upon his face, full of tenderness and compassion. These words are impressed upon my mind. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 16, verse 24-25. June 20, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. I slept the first part of the night, but during the latter part I could not rest. I committed my case to the Lord, and was comforted by the thought that I am a subject of his care. I do find peace and comfort in prayer, but I should look upon it as a great blessing from the Lord if I could pass the hours of the night in sleep. These words comfort and strengthen me. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23. This renewing is what I desire to have. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. The righteousness of Christ is the prize to which we are individually to reach forth. Let this mind be in you, Paul writes, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. We must walk as he walked and work as he worked. This means constant self-denial and a daily reaching out to do others good. We lose much because we are so apt to forget the fullness of the grace provided for us through the merits of Christ. No one is safe who offers the Lord a dull, sleepy, indifferent service. In order to resist the temptations of the enemy, we shall have to wrestle in earnest prayer with God. By using the grace bestowed, we shall gain a vigorous Christianity. Day by day, I am given an assurance of the love of God. He that heareth my word, Christ says, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5, verse 24. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 20, verse 31. I long to proclaim the gospel of good news, the glad tidings of great joy. I am anxious to present to our people the message that the Lord has given me, that Christ has made us his own, that he has bought us with a price beyond computation. The Savior declared, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 12, verse 46. He would have all heed his invitation, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. God presents salvation to all. He gives it to those who believe. June 21st, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another night of restlessness and suffering is past. I welcome the coming of 5 o'clock in the morning, for then Emily Campbell builds my fire and I can be dressed. I will not allow my mind to dwell on the dark side. Jesus has light and comfort and hope and joy for me. I want to face the light, that the brightness of the Sun of Righteousness may shine into my heart and be reflected to others. It is the duty of every Christian to shine, to shed abroad the light of the grace that Christ imparts. God would have me, even in my pain, praise him, showing that I realize that his presence is with me. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5, verse 11. Whatever else the sin of Adam did, it did not give human beings an excuse for transgressing God's law. June 22nd, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. The morning gave promise of a very pleasant day, and there was talk of my riding out. But soon the clouds began to roll up, and the air became cold. At 1 o'clock there was a flood of rain, with heavy thunder and frequent flashes of lightning. With greater and less severity, the storm continued during the day.
Last night I slept better than during the night previous, but I was greatly afflicted with pain in my arms, shoulders, spine, hip bones, and feet. This makes me painfully sick, but I will not become discouraged. I will press my petitions to the throne of grace. I have a sympathizing Savior, who does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. I have much time to think, and my head is perfectly clear. Christ draws my attention to himself. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8, verse 34. This is our confidence. I will rejoice in his love. June 23, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another night has passed. I slept only 3 hours. I was not in so much pain as usual, but was restless and nervous. After lying awake for some time, trying to sleep, I gave up the effort and directed my whole attention to seeking the Lord. How precious to me was the promise. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. I prayed most earnestly to the Lord for comfort and peace, which the Lord Jesus alone can give. I want the blessing of the Lord, so that, while suffering pain, I shall not lose self-control. I dare not trust in self for one moment. The instant that Peter withdrew his eyes from Christ, that instant he began to sink. When he realized his peril and lifted his eyes and voice to Jesus, crying, "Save, Lord, or I perish," the hand ever ready to save the perishing took hold of him, and he was saved. Matthew 14, verse 30-31. I long to follow on to know the Lord, that I may know that his going forth is prepared as the morning. I desire the words of my lips to be right words, the meditations of my heart to be of God. I desire to be strengthened with genuine faith. I do not want one vestige of presumption or self-confidence to appear in my life. I want faith, simple, trustful faith. I am determined to rely wholly on the promise of God, asking him to keep my lips from evil and my tongue from speaking guile. In my home, I must daily seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. And although the body is suffering, and the nervous system enfeebled, we must not think that we are at liberty to speak fretfully, or to think that we are not receiving all the attention we should have. When we give way to impatience, we drive the Spirit of God out of the heart and give place to the attributes of Satan. When we frame excuses for selfishness, for evil thinking and evil speaking, we are educating the soul in evil. And if we continue to do this, it will become a habit to yield to temptation. We are then on Satan's ground, overcome, weak, and without courage. If we trust in ourselves, we shall certainly fall. Christ says, "Abide in me, and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15, verse 4. What is the fruit that we are to bear? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, verse 22-23. As I meditated on these things, I felt more and more deeply the sin of neglecting to keep the soul in the love of God. The Lord does nothing without our cooperation. When Christ prayed, "Father, keep them in thy name," John 17, verse 11, he did not mean that we should neglect to keep ourselves in the love and faith of God. Alive unto God, through a living union with Christ, we trust in the promises, constantly gaining greater strength by beholding Jesus. What can change the heart or shake the confidence of the one who, by beholding the Savior, is changed into his likeness? Shall such a one be on the watch for slights? Shall his imagination center on self? Shall he allow little things to destroy his peace of mind? He in whose heart Christ abides is willing to be pleased. He thinks no evil, and is content with the assurance that Jesus knows and values aright every soul for whom he died. God says, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Isaiah 13, verse 12.
Let this satisfy the longing of the soul, and make us careful and guarded, very ready to forgive others, because God has forgiven us. The happiness of life is made up of little things. It is in the power of everyone to practice true Christ-like courtesy. It is not the possession of splendid talents that will help us to overcome, but the conscientious performance of daily duties. The kind look, the lowly spirit, the contented disposition, the unaffected, sincere interest in the welfare of others, these things are helps in the Christian life. If the love of Jesus fills the heart, this love will be manifested in the life. We shall not show a determination to have our own way, a stubborn, selfish unwillingness to be happy or pleased. The health of the body depends more upon heart healthfulness than many suppose. One can imagine himself slighted, imagine that he is not in as high a position as he is capable of filling, and so make of himself a supposed martyr. He is unhappy, but who is to blame? One thing is certain: kindness and amiability of temper will do more to exalt him than any supposed smartness with the curse of an ungenial disposition. June 24, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. I know in whom I have believed. I have been purchased by the blood of the only begotten Son of God. He has graven me upon the palms of his hands. I am not my own. I have committed the keeping of my soul unto him as unto a faithful Creator. He will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Elder Daniels and his wife, Elder Tenney and his wife, and Sarah Belden took dinner with us today. We talked about the prospect of establishing a school in Australia to train workers for the islands of the sea. June 25, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. The past night was one of pain and of relief. I went to bed at 9, but was obliged to take treatment till 12. I then slept for about 3 hours. During these wakeful nights, I hold precious seasons of communion with God. My continual prayer is for the meekness and lowliness of Christ. Much time is lost in longing to do some great thing, some wonderful work, while the duties lying close at hand, the performance of which would make the life fragrant, are lost sight of. The life that is Christ-like in the home will be Christ-like in the church. It is the neglect of the smaller duties, in an effort to reach after a great work, that spoils the life of many a one. True Christians are a savor of life unto life, because Christ abides in their hearts. Reflecting his image, they are children of the light. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus. I cry after God. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 42, verse 1. Here in the home, in my pain and suffering, I must be imbued with the Spirit of Christ. It is now that I must put my trust in the Lord. At times I can do little else than cling to Jesus, saying, "I am thy child, I trust in thee. I have thy pledged word. My grace is sufficient." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Then relief comes, and I praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Today, quarterly meetings was held in the church. Willie spoke from Isaiah 50, verse 10, 11. In the afternoon, the Lord's Supper was administered, preceded by the ordinance of feet washing. The celebration of these ordinances is the fulfilling of the command. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. John 13, verse 14, 15. What a place is this for hushing controversies, for forgiving those who have done us any injury. This is the time, if one has anything against his brother, to make it right, to settle every difficulty. Let there be mutual forgiveness. Let no strange flame be brought to the altar. Let no malice, no hatred, be cherished by those who meet round the communion table. Let high and low, rich and poor, learned and unlearned, meet together as those purchased by the blood of Christ. June 26, 1892. Preston, Melbourne.
I am glad when the daylight comes, for the nights are long and wearisome. But when I cannot sleep, gratitude fills my heart, as I think that one who never slumbers is watching over me for good. What a wonderful thought it is that Jesus knows all about the pains and griefs we bear. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. Some among our friends know nothing of human woe or physical pain. They are never sick, and therefore they cannot enter fully into the feelings of those who are sick. But Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He is the great medical missionary. He has taken humanity upon himself and has placed himself at the head of a new dispensation in order that he may reconcile justice and compassion. June 27, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another night has passed, and although I suffered much from nervousness, yet I have the peace that the presence of Jesus always brings. He gives me to drink of the cup of his salvation, and my heart is made cheerful in God. How earnestly we ought to labor for those who are unsaved. When we think of the infinite sacrifice that Jesus has made to redeem sinners, how can we be content to make no effort in behalf of our fellow beings? Shall we do nothing when the Good Shepherd came from the throne of heaven to seek and save the lost? June 28, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. I am compassed with infirmities, yet I am of good courage in the Lord. Although the enemy is permitted to afflict me, yet I have great blessings from day to day. My head is free from pain, shielded by the hand of the Lord. My shoulders and arms are full of pain, but my right forearm, from the elbow to the tips of my fingers, is free from pain. I am able to do much important writing. I am deeply interested in the work of my ministering brethren. My heart is drawn out in sympathy with them, and I pray that they may honor God. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3. We can know Christ only by loving and obeying him. The Lord calls for valiant men who will not fail or be discouraged. Trials and disappointments will come to God's workers, but did they not come to Jesus? Shall we cover the Lord's altar with mourning and sighing and tears? God forbid. It comforts me to meditate upon the loving words of Christ, to think of his courtesy, his sympathy, his compassion. I long to be like him.
I will rest in his care. He will make me a conqueror over evil. June 29th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. My prayer on awaking is, Jesus, keep thy child today. Take me under thy guardianship. Make me a healthy, fruit-bearing branch of the living vine. Without me, Christ says, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. In and through Christ, we can do all things. He who was the adored of angels, would listen to the music of the heavenly choir, was ever touched, while upon this earth, with the sorrows of children, ever ready to listen to the story of their childish woe. He often dried their tears, cheering them with the tender sympathy of his words, which seemed to hush their sorrows and make them forget their grief. The emblem in the form of a dove that hovered over Jesus at his baptism represents his gentleness of character. June 30th, 1892. Preston, Melbourne. Another night of great weariness has nearly passed. Although I continue to suffer much pain, I know that I am not forsaken by my Saviour. My prayer is, help me, Jesus, that I may not dishonour thee with my lips. Let no unkind words be spoken by me. I am told by some who come to see me that I shall never again have the use of my limbs, but I do not accept this view as truth. I know that the Lord has a work for me to do, and I will put my trust in him. The outlook is not cheering, but God knows my situation. I rejoice that I can use my right hand. Bolstered up in a chair with pillows, I write many pages. I am able to keep my workers supplied with all they can possibly do. I could keep two more busy. My heart is filled with gratitude for the goodness and mercy of God. My prayer goes up to heaven for grace, and the peace that passeth understanding is given me. I can trust the Lord Jesus to care for my weary body. I find in him a present help in every time of need. His presence seems so real and is the evidence of his compassion. Sick or well, I feel that every power of body and mind should be employed in glorifying God. We are not our own, to please and gratify self. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ, and it is our daily duty, as well as our privilege, to consecrate all that we have and are to the Saviour.